Maybe there's things in their lives that they're troubled about. So let's take a couple of minutes just to close our eyes and prepare ourselves for worship. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is with them. And so we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the opening sentences. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. We sing the opening hymn. Let us now make confession of our sins to God, our Heavenly Father. Merciful Father, our Lord and King, we are sinful people. We have inherited original sin from our parents who disobeyed you in Eden. We are by nature sinful and unclean. In our daily lives, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We sincerely repent of our sins and humbly ask for your grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. By the renewing of the work of the Holy Spirit, sanctify us that each day we grow in righteousness and godly living according to the glory of your holy name. God is gracious and forgiving. He has shown his merciful power in ways that renew, restore, and heal. To those who come to him with repentant and contrite hearts, our Lord says, "Fear not," and promises pardon, life, and salvation. As a commissioned servant of God and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with the introit. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample under feet. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your kingdom is everlasting and your house is forever. Grant us grace to live with unfailing confidence that you have delivered us from sin and the power of death and Satan, and have built for us an everlasting house where we shall rejoice in your eternal presence. This we ask for the sake of Jesus, the Almighty Conqueror and our gracious Savior. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
Good morning. The first reading comes from Genesis 3, 1 through 21. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you, in pain, and you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
The psalm appointed for this Sunday is Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, "I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely the great rush of waters shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
The epistle reading comes from Romans 5, 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, then over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness and to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him again, "It is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A young pastor and his wife were struggling on the salary of a newly called pastor. One day the pastor was reviewing some receipts that he had received, and he saw that his wife had purchased a dress for $250. "How could you do this?" he exclaimed. The wife, nearly in tears, explained, "Well, one minute I was standing outside looking at the dress in the window, and the next minute I was inside trying that dress on. And as I looked at myself in the mirror, it was like Satan was telling me, 'You look fabulous in that dress. Buy it, buy it.'" "Well," the pastor replied with a somewhat arrogant tone, "you know how I deal with situations like that. I say, 'Satan, get thee behind me.'" And the wife looked down and said, "Yes, that's what I said. But then Satan said, 'It looks fabulous from back here too.'" Temptation. We read about temptation in the Old Testament lesson today and the New Testament reading as well. In the Old Testament, we hear again the story of the fall of Adam and Eve. You remember that God had created two trees in the middle of the garden. One was called the tree of life. The other was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had told them that they could eat of anything in the garden except that one tree in the very middle of the garden that was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, "If you eat from that tree, surely you will die." Our reading begins with a rather ominous statement. "Now the snake was craftier than any other living creature in the field." And Satan takes God's word and twists them a little bit to Eve to make it sound like she is going to become knowledgeable about things. She's going to know what it's like to be God. And as we know, Adam and Eve both fell for the scheme. And in the gospel lesson today, Jesus is tempted by Satan. After he was baptized, he was taken up by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the text says he was hungry, and that's certainly understandable. He was probably tired and sleepy as well. He would probably just have wanted to go home and rest. But here comes Satan immediately after those 40 days and 40 nights, and he says, "If you're really the Son of God, you can do miracles, right? Turn these stones into bread so that you can eat and satisfy yourself." Jesus responds, "We don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of God's mouth." And then Satan says, "Well, okay. Did he really say that you're the Son of God? If you are, prove it to me." And so he took him up to the temple and set him atop on a pinnacle of the temple and said, "God is going to catch you if you jump down, because we know that the angels will come and take care of you." And Jesus replied, "Do not put God to the test." And then Satan took Jesus up to a mountaintop, and he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and all their majesty. And Satan said, "I can give you all that you see without all that nasty death on the cross stuff if you will just worship me." And Jesus replies, "Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." I want you to notice a couple things here. First, I want you to notice that the devil knows the Bible. He's read it. He's studied it. And the second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus at no time uses his divine powers to resist the temptation that the devil gave to him. Well, if you've ever been on a diet, you know the issues and understand temptation. Years ago, Ann had a little cartoon on the refrigerator that showed a picture of a lady in a shopping market holding her cart, looking down at a chocolate cake, saying, "I said no." I didn't understand that very well until I went on a diet with her several years later. You see, being on a diet makes you aware of what you eat and what you want to eat and what kinds of things tempt you. We are frequently tempted to take, well, just one bite. But then I'm reminded of that chip commercial that says, "I bet you just can't eat just one." And how many times do we succumb to that temptation? We eat just one and then just one more, and you know the rest of that story. There certainly are temptations everywhere. Last week I searched the internet for stories that might help me in the sermon to talk about the relationship we had with God. I struggled to find very many. This week I searched for stories that might help me describe temptation, and I found hundreds of stories. One of the things I came across was a t-shirt on a college-age male that read, "Lead us not into temptation." And then the second line went on, "Ah, who am I kidding? Follow me, I know a shortcut." We are all faced with temptations, and we all succumb at one time or another. I know what things tempt me and when I have succumbed, and I bet you that you know the things that tempt you and the times that you have succumbed as well. Perhaps it's eating too much ice cream or too much candy. Perhaps you eat too much of your favorite food. Maybe it's drinking soda that is your temptation, or perhaps Irish cream lattes are your downfall. Maybe you spend too much at the bargain basement when in fact you don't really need those things after all. Anne says that when she goes shopping, sometimes things just jump into her shopping cart. But I bet there are other temptations in your life, and perhaps those are the temptations that you really don't want to admit, or you don't like to consider, or, well, maybe you just ignore those as, well, that just, we just won't count that one. A study done several years ago in the Disciple Journal, readers were asked to rank their struggles with spiritual challenge and temptation in order, and they came up with 9: materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, bitterness, anger, sexual lust, envy, gluttony, and lying. Every time I hear that word gluttony, I remember a time when we were on a cruise several years ago. And if you've ever been on a cruise, you know there are several places you can just go up and say, "Make me a pizza," and the guy will make you a pizza. One fellow did that. He went up and ordered apparently a pepperoni pizza. And he sat down and he picked all of the pepperoni off and threw the rest away. To me, that just exemplified gluttony. It is those kinds of temptations that we would like to forget, that we would like to totally ignore, or that we somehow justify as, well, I'll just let it go that one time. A couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, we were talking about temptation, and we talked about the sin of David and Bathsheba. As we talked about it, there were several points during which David, if he had stopped, would have not fallen into that temptation. But he didn't. Each time he could have stopped, he ignored the possibility of doing that, and he went on to the next step. The result was that Uriah died, and the baby that was born to David and Bathsheba later also died. Because of what happened in the Old Testament reading today, we know that our human powers are too frequently insufficient to overcome temptation. You see, there are two lies that Satan wants us to believe. Just once won't hurt, Satan says. Take that one chip, you can have one. Take that one drink, you can have one. But then we know that we take the second chip. And then Satan says, geez, I'm really sorry. Now that you've ruined your life, now that you've had that one chip, now that you're beyond God's help anyway, you might as well keep on sinning and enjoy it. Well, that's what Charles Spurgeon said, and I think those are good points for us to remember. When we are tempted, we are seeking happiness. Something or someone persuades us that if we do something, we will be happier somehow. Because we all want to be happy. And then we give in. Satan convinced Eve that she would be happier if she ate that apple. Because after all, the apple looked good, the tree was pretty to look at, and I bet that apple probably tasted pretty good. And Adam and Eve were perhaps happy for a few minutes, maybe for a few hours, but then suddenly they realize they are naked. And so they know they have to hide from God. You see, they didn't understand the long-term consequences of falling into that temptation. They didn't believe that God's command was to protect them and keep them safe from harm. They wanted to be like God and know what he knew. And when they found out what God knew, they didn't like it. In Ecclesiastes, we read, "The eye is never tired of seeing, and the ear is never filled with hearing." And in Peter, we read, "Beloved, do not be surprised when a fiery trial comes upon you and puts you to the test, as though something strange were happening to you." And he goes on to say, "In the hope of eternal life you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." We all experience those temptations. We all experience those trials. In Romans, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue to give in to temptation, that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died into temptation and sin still live in it?" You see, God never puts temptation directly in front of us. He may test us. He tested Jesus in the gospel lesson today. He tested Job in that Old Testament book. And we too are tested. We are all subject to trials and tribulations and temptations, and they are just inevitable. We can't avoid them. In James, he says, "But believers should count it, trials and temptations, all joy, for they are strengthened," Christians, "are strengthened by those trials and temptations." And he also says, "Happy is the one who endures testing, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to him in love." So, my friends, do not be surprised when temptations come your way. They'll come knocking on your door. They'll come knocking frequently, and they'll come knocking loudly. And when they come, that's the time to remember that you have that close relationship with God. That close relationship that we talked about last week. With that relationship, you will then be able to look away from that temptation. You will be able to persevere yourself through those trials and temptations. With that relationship, you will be able to face the temptation knowing that you are not alone. With that relationship, you will be able to hear God's voice. And it will be encouraging you and giving you strength to resist. With that relationship, you will able to still be able to hear God's still small voice that is encouraging you and saying, "Be gone, get behind me, Satan. I am a child of God. I have the hope of eternal life." Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all we have comes from Him. During the season of Lent, we reflect on what our Lord Jesus endured to pay the price of our sins. Today, we are reminded that for us, He died on the cross as the Christ, according to the eternal plan of God. The title Christ focuses us on the saving work of Jesus and is at the heart of the opening lines of the 17th century German hymn, Christ, the Life of All the Living. The hymn writer, Ernst Homburg, considered the stanzas of hymn of thanksgiving to his Redeemer and Savior for his bitter sufferings. With that spirit of thanksgiving we shared through the writer's words, we will sing that hymn. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. As we begin our Lenten journey, dear Lord, we pray, lead us not into temptation. Assure us that you are with us in the wilderness of life, and spare us from the assaults of the evil one. Support us through the counsel and comfort of those in the household of faith. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word which is able to make us wise unto salvation. Grant us every blessing through the holy sacrament that we receive today. Make us perfect in love and in all good works, not testing you, but living out your gracious commands. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, grant that your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office or discharge responsibility in your church, that by their devoted service, faith may abound and your kingdom may increase. We pray for the elders and members of this council, of this congregation, that they may lead and follow us to your will and bring glory to your name. We pray for all the members of this congregation, that we all may do according to your will and to your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve our nation, O Lord, in justice and honor, that we may lead safe and peaceable lives. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and to all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve their people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. We pray especially for Paula, Dan, Sue, Jerry, Piper, Norm, Velma, and Carrie Ann. Bring consolation to those who are in sorrow and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. And we pray for those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Della, Fred, Denny, Karen, Weldon, and Marion. Comfort them in their loneliness and strengthen them in the faith and reassure them of their salvation. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for these things and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right, good, and proper that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, King of the universe. Grant that we may live with sure confidence in the graciousness of your plan for our lives and await with hope the abundant inheritance to come in your glorious presence. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, forever praising you and singing.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have delivered us from the power of death and granted us the glorious destiny of eternal life in your kingdom, which is forever. By the work of the Holy Spirit, may we, with true thanksgiving, receive the bread and wine that is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a guarantee of the salvation that he purchased for us through his innocent suffering and death. Pour out your gracious Spirit upon us, that we may live as your faithful servants. Receive our prayers and thanksgiving, and grant us your abiding peace. For you alone, O Father, be all the glory, honor, and praise with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He broke it and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for all people. Do this in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and to confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always. We share God's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, ruler of all things, despite our unworthiness, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come through this blessed meal. Send your Holy Spirit that, having now received his holy sacrament, we may joyfully continue our earthly pilgrimage until that time when we, receiving our gracious inheritance, are gathered into the heavenly kingdom to share your blessings of all eternity. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. If there are any announcements, please come forward.
narthex on a table over here, there was a letter from a young lady by her name of Jocelyn, and a letter from her grandmother. They are asking for our help. This young lady, at the age of 18, has got herself mixed up with drugs. And as Pastor says, it only takes one chip. Well, all it took for her was one puff, one pill, and she was hooked. Now her grandmother is pleading for us to help, to pledge giving something each and every month so she can go to Teen Challenge, Hannah's house in Eugene. It's a one-year program. It's Christian-based, and they will help her. Each Friday night, I'm here with NA, Narcotics Anonymous. I see and I hear their horror stories. This young lady is only 18. She was only hooked for 4 months. She can't get off. Without God's help and without the education and the help of Teen Challenge, her grandmother is asking that we pledge something each and every month to help pay for her. It's expensive. It's $2,500 a month to put her in there. And she has to come up with $1,250 a month on her own. That's why her grandmother is asking for the churches to please step up. I myself and Ladies Guild is going to pledge $12.50 a month. That's $150 a year to help her. So I'm asking each and every one of you to help in any way. It doesn't have to be $12.50 a month. It can be a dollar. It can be $5. If you can give more, give more. But there's a pledge sheet on that table. And I'm asking you to help participate. Help this young lady. It's only a year. And Teen Challenge is a good organization. They are Christian-based, and they will give everything they can to this young lady so I don't have to see her on Friday nights. Thank you.
Are there other announcements? You should also know that the grandparents have not only come to this congregation, but to a lot of other congregations as well. So they're not asking us to foot the whole thing. But I think that's a worthy cause, and Linda makes a good point. We don't want to see her here on Friday nights. This coming Wednesday, we have our Lenten service. We'll have soup supper at 5 with a service at 6. I think I was believing everything I read on the internet, because during the discussion the elders had when we talked about having that service, I looked on the internet and it said that the sun didn't go down till 7 o'clock. I walked out of here last Wednesday night at 6:45. It was pitch black. So my apologies for telling a story I thought was true. The sun does go down a little before that, but next Sunday, when we spring ahead, the sun won't go down until 7. And so for those of you who are uncomfortable driving at night, you'll still be able to attend. We encourage you to do that. Have some soup with us, some fellowship, and Pastor Lucky will be here with a message. I think his message is going to be on the miracle of the earthquake. If there are no other announcements, we'll sing the closing hymn.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.